Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. Fired up today. We're talking Rouse performance, you guys. And that's always fun when we talk Rouse because we get some insight we normally wouldn't have.
No doubt. Now, these guys have their fingers in just about everything automotive, especially in that performance area, racing of all kinds. I'm sure they're into off-road, street racing, of course, track. Offshore. I mean, these guys are probably into just about anything going fast that you can imagine. They've been doing it for a really long time, man. And at their top of the game.
Dude, you know my feelings about Ford, bro. It pains me. It pains me sometimes to talk Ford because they're honest to God, they're legit. Every time you got one in the staging lane or lane beside you or on a road race, you know you're going to have your hands full because normally they come ready to whoop that booty. I'm curious to ask him because I endorse a Ford dealership in town, even though, I'm such a Mopar guy, just because I've had great relationships with the guys over at this place called Amera. I'm interested because I got to drive one of those Roush Mustangs last year, and dude, I gotta tell you, man, that car is straight nasty. It is, you know how we've both, you and I, have had our seat time in some of the new Challengers and Chargers and whatnot, but man, it's completely different. We're talking seat time in one of those cars. And I mean night and day, big girl, skinny girl difference.
You know, man, when anybody I care about has feeling pain, you know, I feel it too. But when you feel pain about how cool Ford products can be, I don't feel anything bad, man. I got a little snicker. I got a little snicker going on inside of my mouth.
Just a little rude.
Oh, man.
James, you probably hear that all the time. Being the man with, Roush and, being plugged into their crate engine program, you're the man that probably has a lot of those conversations like, man, it's always a tough competitor when you see, especially someone with the Roush name on it in the lane beside you or in the road course or just out on the street, man. It's a dogfight out there, bro.
Absolutely. I tell you, it's quite a time that we're living in because, it's horsepower roars all over again, right? You know, everybody's trying to make the meanest, nastiest, just most unbelievable product out there. I mean, Willie, just to kind of touch base with you, man, today on my Facebook feed, one of my good buddies shares with me, this Dodge Demon, this 170, 1400 horsepower, dude.
Yeah, dude, I read that too. That's ungodly, right?
1400 horsepower. They got the thing with, street tires on the front of it, that it's picking them up off the ground. It's got a launch shot on there. How can you not be impressed, man? I don't care what badge you wear. 1400 horsepower is 1400 horsepower.
Dude, I know. And it hits the street in 1025 dressing, but you can turn it up really easy. And here's what's crazy. Did you hear one of the funniest options on that car they just announced was the passenger seat? It doesn't come from the factory with the passenger seat. That, my friend, is a $1 upgrade if you like a passenger seat in it.
That's awesome.
Oh man, I was really looking forward to, how would Dodge kind of exit, on a grand scale. They had to go on a grand scale, and I think
they hit it, didn't they? Out of the park.
Absolutely. Yeah. They've met all my expectations, and then with that $1 seat, maybe just a hair more.
Hey, did you see the 0 to 60 times in that car?
166. What?
Wow.
What?
Is that on a prep track or would that be on a street?
That's a good question.
I think that's got to be on a prep track. I mean, it's a 166. That's got to be a prep track. I mean, it's just unbelievable to fathom you could do that out on the street. There's no way. It's just, you're absolutely right, Jim. It is a time and an era that we are seeing things that people dreamt were impossible just a handful of years ago. I mean, I'm not talking that long. Early 2000s. you know, you would never dream of things that we're seeing nowadays. And it's just mind-blowing and bending that they continue to do such. And you guys, I don't know why you're laughing so hard. You guys are on the forefront of it too. And when we get back from the break, you're going to tell us all about it. You're going to peel the curtain back and give us a layer or two. Because I know you guys at Roush are always turning things up. And, man, what better time, what better era to do it. So let's get this break out of the way. We got our boy Jim Roush. We got my man Kevin Bird. We got Willie B. It's a Two Guys Garage Podcast. And we're back after the break. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we have Jim from Roush Performance. You guys know Roush. It's a name that we all became. We just know it. When something shows up, it's got the Roush badging. You know that car is coming with some stank, man. You know that car is coming with some goodies that are legit, that are true, tried and tested, that is going to be just a formal adversary on the track or on the course.
Yeah, you better stand tall, and I mean real tall when you see that badge, because you got some serious competition coming at you.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, you are the Crate Engine Program Manager for Roush, so that means you got your hands in some really cool stuff. And, you know, for any hot rodder, you know, engine, to me, that's the lifeblood of whatever it is you're trying to make go fast. So how long you been, you know, at Roush, how long you been in this business, in this game?
Well, with the I've been a gearhead all my life. I've been with Roush for a total of 28 years. I was a kid, man. Whenever, you know, I come out of the industry, you know, going to a technical school down in Ohio, and was able to land a job at Roush, you know, as kind of an entry level mechanic, and been there ever since. So started out life with the prototyping world, and doing a lot of Ford prototyping that, you know, pretty much drew a dotted line straight to production, you know, vehicles that we're all familiar with today, you know, that I was able to see almost the, you know, the birth of a vehicle and then the end of a vehicle, you know, through its life cycle through production. And from there, you know, I just kind of, you know, gravitated towards the aftermarket. And there was a gentleman that was retiring out of the crate engine section. And they found me and they said, man, you're the right guy, man. You bleed gasoline and oil. So, you know, you need to be part of our crate motor department and join our team. And within that engine shop over there in Livonia, Michigan, we've got a couple different sections that we call engines, right? We've got our competition engine section, which is purebred race motors. And we've got vintage custom engines that, you know, span across anything from, you know, Ford, General Motors, Stellantis, Chrysler, you know, whatever you want to refer to it as today. But that services all brands, you know. And then on the crate engine side, everything that I do is Ford based. So all my crate engines, big block, small block, Coyote, you name it, is going to be a Ford based engine. So all that stuff is stuff that I've, you know, grown up with and, you know, known and loved and just have always associated with. And I've got a really cool team surrounding me that plays in this arena with me every single day, you know? So being able to talk about some of this stuff and getting, you know, really down to the, you know, some of the nuts and bolts and stuff. I mean, I'm a guy that, you know, in all of our, you know, age group here, we kind of, you know, watched the fuel injection, you know, the evolution of fuel injection, EFI, come into play, you know, from carburetors, you know, and the kind of the start of the horsepower wars, if you think about it, you know, between GM and Ford back in the day, you know, 225 horsepower out of a Fox body Mustang was kicking it, dude. You know,
no right? doubt.
And then, you know, the Corvette may be squeaking out, you know, 250 horsepower, right? You know, and then electronic carburetors, and then the, you know, obviously evolution into EFI and stuff. But I mean, that's just the stuff we grew up with, right? And to see technology where it's come from, you know, from back in the day is really cool. And I get a front row seat to all of that. So,
Well, we talked about, you know, where we are today and all the competition that's out there,
oh, yeah.
Right? The Hellcats and Demons and these big numbers. Does that make you a little bit, you know, scared of the competition, or does it get you guys revved up? What are you guys doing to kind of counterpunch everything that's happening out there?
Oh yeah, we see this stuff and we've got a an extremely awesome part of the business called Roush Performance Parts, right? So they've got vehicles, they got parts. You've got we've got F-150s, Super Duties, and Mustangs, and then they sell superchargers and exhaust systems and cold air kits. I mean, there's a whole plethora of catalog parts that you can go on there and check out and see. But today, we've got a supercharger out there that's you know, when coupled with the 2023 Mustang, it's got a capability of 750 plus horsepower, right? So, you know, day to day horsepower, I mean, that's right in the slot. You know, we don't I guess we wouldn't have like a supercar like that that Demon as of yet. You know, there might be some things in the works. But yeah, there's always that thing in the background that says, okay, what do you do to compete with that? And you know, we're not running scared. You know, that's a challenge, right? That's, you know, it's a challenge for the team to go back and look at, you know, hey, how do we fit in this? And what's the, you know, strategic moves to do to, you know, to be able to compete with some of that stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff happening, especially with, you know, with Roush Performance and some of their, you know, their vehicles and parts. So the horsepower is there. What do you do with it? Right.
So Jim, I got to ask you, man. So I'm tied in, connected here in Denver with a big Ford dealership. They were one of the first ones. Been here forever. A company called Omera Ford. They have several Roush Mustangs up there. A couple of which they had manuals last year, and I got to drive one of them. Straight banger, and the car is just nasty as you could ever want to get behind the wheel of. And I love the third pedal on it. Is that something that you guys have your hands in, or is that something that, you know, just carries your badging and you guys never see those type cars?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one in particular. Obviously, with anything manual transmission, you know, like you were just saying, the manual transmission, you got to love a manual transmission, man. I think that's just a trademark and muscle car, you know. You got to have that third pedal. And to tell you the truth, the modern technology horsepower that's out there and all the control systems, it's a different acceleration, isn't it, Willie? I mean, for what you went out and experienced.
Absolutely.
It's so different. I mean, the sounds, the feels, all that stuff. But, you know, some of the new things that they're, you know, they've got a track pack. You know, Roush Performance has got this new track pack out, and it's got an improved cooling system. So, you know, people can go out and hit the track and not have to worry about heat soak. You know, that's obviously improved
Sweet.
over the years and understanding, you know, managing boost and heat and what that does to things over a period of time. So, you know, obviously improvements are underway. You know, we're looking at things and trying to come up with different ideas on how to make things better. That's the Roush way. But
well, one of the divisions, and I think what Willie was getting to, is one of the divisions in Roush is, and I don't know what you guys call them, but they're your vehicles, right? They're brand new. You guys probably get some maybe base model,
yes,
or some elevated from base, and then you guys in that division, you know, we'll do wheels, suspensions, you know, superchargers, whatever is required to get them up to stage one, stage two, stage three. Is there much crosstalk on the engine side? Because you're in crates, right? So somebody wanted to order up for their hot rod, you know, they've blown a motor, they want to upgrade, they're going to give you a call. Do you guys, you know, kind of work back and forth a little bit with, you know, hey, we're doing dyno testing, here's the parts we got, here's, you know, here's the post teardown, you know, reports and et cetera, here's what's working, you know, for some of the newer vehicles that come out? Or are you getting some of the downstream that says, you know, hey, here's the blower, we've got it on this, you know, stage three, and you guys can, you know, maybe adopt some of that within your crate motor lineup? Or
so one of the crate motors that I currently offer today, it's a Gen 3 supercharged Coyote, and these are standalone, we'll call it non-emissions type vehicle platforms. So any, you know, anything pre-emissions, that's kind of where these are geared towards. And that's, you know, really because, you know, you got to be careful with EPA and everything else. I mean, CARB, you know, people, they got us in a headlock anymore, right? So they want to make sure that, you know, that you're, it's a tight walk, right? So, and that's where I think, unfortunately, we're going to see, you know, a lot of these handcuffs put on companies, for, you know, these higher horsepower cars. you know, that are being produced today. But this engine, this great engine that I offer today, this Gen 3 supercharged piece, dude, I'm seeing 750, 775 horsepower, you know, crate engines. You know, somebody buys something like that and they're putting it in their early Mustang or their early pickup truck, and they're absolutely having a blast with this stuff because it's not, you know, packed full of regulatory, you know, catalytic converters or emissions that, you know, for that particular year were pre-emissions. So we can fit that bill, go out and have a good time with, you know, with these platforms that, you know, the way that they're building them up, and they're adding all these modern amenities to these, you know, these classic cars, and they're coming out with some really cool pieces with them. And God, they're, you know, they're at 750 horsepower. They're fast.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy.
They're straight up nasty.
It's nuts driving 700-800 horsepower on the street. And you see it, man. There's so many people that put those cars in the walls and ditches.
Oh, man.
You know, shortly after they take ownership, it's hysterical.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, but to double back around, Kevin, we talk a lot about products and cross, you know, marketing and stuff, but I can't really supply newer vehicles with replacement engines and kind of the engines that I build today because of the interface with, you know, electronics and emissions. So, basically, you know, they're always interested in, hey, what am I doing? And how does that relate to what we're doing today in our current platforms, you know, and be able to just to have two relatable products, you know, that I can point to a Mustang and say, hey, this is basically the same engine that's in that car right there. So,
well, it sounds like you guys got two different paths, right? Yeah. I mean, like you said, we've got so much emissions and so many constraints and electronics and communications going on in the newer vehicles and our crate engines. We want to strip some of that off. We want to keep them simple.
Yes.
We want to make them almost standalone for the most part.
Yes.
Now we talked about how things have progressed, right? We went from carburetors to fuel injection and then all kinds of boosts. And we've gone from, you know, our old small blocks and big blocks and FEs, and now we've got Coyotes. So are you seeing a shift in trend, like in buyers over the last, you know, 10 years or more, you know, because just a few years ago, right, it was, I'm going to do a small block. I'm going to do a big inch small block. No, I'm going to get the big block. And that's where the power was. We're talking 4 or 5, maybe pushing upwards to 600 horsepower. But now we've got Coyotes with blowers. Where do you see the trends? Are people gravitating heavily within the Roush crate engines towards the Coyotes and the supercharged Coyotes? Or is it still really heavily in the nostalgic, the vintage, older platforms?
There's still, man, I sell a lot of pushrod V8s, man. I'm telling you, I thought that I would have sold
really?
Just about every person on the face of the earth a small block Ford by now. But I'm telling you, they call every day looking, you know what I mean? Looking to get an engine for a small block V8, whether it's a, you know, a 302 based engine or a 351 based engine. But that's still by far, man, my most popular engine out there is a 427 351 weight based Windsor engine. Can you believe it?
No,
well, I mean,
crazy.
I kind of can, because, you know, at least forever in my mind, that was like the pinnacle, you know, like obviously big block is great, but when you can get 427 out of a small block,
yeah,
you know, and you can get the kind of power numbers you get out of that small block. I mean, that was it. But then, you know, again, you flip the script just a little bit and you think, oh, well, that dude over there, he's pumping out 700, 800. I need something bigger, right, better, faster, you know? So, and you know, now there's like on the fence between, well, that was the king dog, you know, that 427 stroker, but you know, am I going to teeter over? And it sounds like people are still gravitating to a lot of the old pushrod stuff, a lot of the cool vintagey.
Which I find that so hard to believe, because I've seen the power you could generate out of that small cubic inch Coyote platform. It's bananas. I'm stunned more people aren't crossing over to that engine platform.
Well, it's funny. They take that same, well, you know, these guys, I support the replica car market a lot with my products. So those guys, they take this very, very light, short weight wheelbase car and they stuff, you know, 550 horsepower worth of small block in there. And again, it's a rocket ship. Mm. Now, if you can believe it, I've sold some supercharged Coyote 750, 775 horsepower engine packages to these same fellas, man, in these cars. And you have no idea what that turns that thing into. It's just, it's lethal.
Short wheelbase. Yeah, exactly.
What do you do with that thing? I mean, and it's funny because these coyotes, they idle so smooth and they're quiet. You know what I mean? It's almost like you want to take a glass of wine and stick it on top of the engine. And this thing is ready to bark out darn near 800 horsepower at any given time.
Yeah, man. It, you know what? Actually, as a Mopar guy, it pisses me off. But respect. I got to give it respect.
Smirk.
The numbers are outlandish. I've seen it in my own eyes on a dyno in disbelief, jaw dropped. Had to literally walk out just holding my head down in my hands. But that's okay. It's, you know, respect. All right, we got to take a break. More with our boy Jim Roush Performance, guys. Check it out. Let's talk about some of those Mustangs. Let's talk about that nasty supercharged Coyote platform and a bunch of others coming at you next. Quick break. We're back to it. Kevin Bird, Willie B, the Two Guys Garage Podcast. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we have our boy Jim from Roush Performance on. Hey, this is no joke, man. Jim, I was sitting there watching Kevin's Coyote platform, a little 302, stroked out, don't get me wrong, but still very small cubic inches. And I watched this thing put down over 1,000 horsepower. And I was in disbelief because you know what? It did it easily. Like, easily. It didn't even break a sweat. I was like, what in the flip-flop is going on here? So, man, I can't understand how they make some. Well, I do understand, you know. No valve train helps significantly.
Well, I wouldn't say no valve. There's a lot of valve train in there, but it's the push rod style of valve train.
Right,
so.
not the traditional.
Right. Yeah, Jim, this is the one I think we chatted a couple of years back on our show. We built the 5.2 version with that Ford Performance Roush, aftermarket blower.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, that thing pumped out, I think, 1,089, E85, but still 1,089 out of a little 5.2 liter, man. It's absolutely crazy.
Capabilities there. I mean, it's just they left it wide open for us in the aftermarket to just take it and run. You know what I mean? And the boost levels that we're talking about today, superchargers are becoming a lot more efficient. So it's not taking high boost numbers to make the power anymore. You know, before, back in the day, it was like you needed 20 pounds of boost to make, 1,000 horsepower. They're doing it on 5, 8, 10 horsepower or 10, pounds of boost now. These blowers aren't twisting. They're not twisting very hard.
No. But it's so small. It's tiny. That's what kills me. It's like getting an appetizer the size of a KFC family bucket of chicken. it's unbelievable. It's putting out that much power with such a small footprint. I'm like, God, some great, I'll hand it to you. Some great engineering in that bird. But yeah, you're right, man. You can smack 1,000 horsepower all day, and the torque numbers are stunning for a little thing too.
It's dude, like, that thing was like 860 something.
I know.
860 some foot pounds out of that little 5.2 liter, man.
I'm telling you, we spent a little bit of time on the dyno when we were not running that Gen 3, coming up with the crate motor package, and I remember I had the calibrator there, and just literally in production calibration form, no back pressure, which means long tube headers, no catalyst on the exhaust or anything like that. It was just 750, 760 horsepower, no problem. And I looked at him and I said, man, what are we seeing here? He's like, no back pressure. That's what that'll do. And we started playing around a little bit and it's like, well, what happens if we do this? And what happens if we do that? And let's put this thing on a little bit of a spicy fuel diet and see what comes up next. And literally with a slightly more aggressive fueling table and spark table, we threw some good fuel at this thing. I think it was Mach 105, and it was like 880 horsepower with this literally this production part sitting in front of me. And it was kind of funny. We looked at each other and we're like, oh my God, what is going on here? You know, it's capability. And like I said, the it's there. It's said the stage is set, man, for us in the aftermarket to play around with this stuff and where this thing can go. I don't you know, there's no ceiling. We haven't seen it yet. I mean, look what's going on.
Well, I think what's interesting with these blowers is, you know, it's something we always called the death spiral. And it's when you start to add some boost, right? Then you typically having to pull a certain amount of spark out, right? So you're retarding spark and you're boosting more, you're retarding spark. And so you're, if imagine a, you know, a nice steep hill, right? At the very top, that's kind of where you want to be for a spark. That's your optimal spark. But as you retard, you're kind of sliding down the hill. And as you retard more spark, you're sliding down the hill even faster. So you're still making power, but you're losing it from an efficiency standpoint. And if you can, you know, upgrade the fuel, especially if you go to, you know, higher octane race fuels, E85s, all of a sudden you can crank that spark back in the speed at which you kind of get back that efficiency and the performance that's just sitting there hiding, you know, right in the background. So these blown motors, it's just waiting to come out. It's how we have to run on the pump gas, which is great because we can still keep retarding and boosting and make, you know, 750, 800. But man, when you wake that sucker up with some good fuel, wow, the power is just ready to come right out with just, you know, adding some spark back, you know?
Yeah, it's Red Bull, man. Gives you wings.
Yeah, no doubt.
It absolutely does. Hey, so what has been one of the wildest things you've ever got to put together, being there so long and, you know, sort of chasing a couple ETs here and there on a track, or, you know, some seconds, shaving off a few seconds here and there on a road course or autocross? What are some of the crazy things, builds, cars that you guys have seen your crate engines in and really just outperform everything, or just be on fire for the customer on the other side, man, when he got it all put together?
Dude, I got a lot to talk about, man. So hopefully you guys got a minute. There's some really cool things going on in the background, man, that I sat down with a couple of guys before I jumped on. It's like, hey, can I talk about this? Can I talk about that kind of deal? So let's talk about this new project that we got our hands in, right? And this thing, the base power plant is an RY45.
Ooh.
And it's...
Tell everybody what that is.
For the non-Ford dudes, what is that?
It's the RY45 is basically the NASCAR package right before the FR500. The FR9. It's the modern... Basically, it's the modern, you know, crate, and there's nothing production about it, right? It's the modern race engine, engineered and designed to do nothing more than go out and race. So it's specific cylinder heads, it's specific block. I mean, this thing, it's beautiful, it's jewelry. I mean, to look at one, I mean, and look at all the strengthening and the webbing and just the way to design the thing, the cylinder heads and the valve train, you're in awe. It's amazing. So it's like they took everything that we knew about engines and they stepped it up like three notches. So, you know, looking at this stuff, this hardware, it's impressive, man. But so if you get a chance to take a look at the GT1 supercar, I think it's like GT1CF.com or something like that, but it's this carbon based supercar that they designed off of a 2007 Ford GT chassis. And we're supplying these RY45s, and they're outfitted with twin turbos.
Whoa.
So.
Wow. If they're based off the, because RY45, that's off the, like, the last kind of gen NASCAR motor?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So those are somewhere in the, what, 800-900 range NA?
So NA.
Like a race trim kind of deal?
So in race trim, they're up in the 800s, and you know, for this particular project, we dynoed it naturally aspirated, ready for turbos, you know, basically just getting a baseline of this engine and you know, with a turbo style camshaft and setup, it's in NA form, it was 700 easy all day long, and we weren't even leaning on it. These guys went out and we, you know, they throw a couple of turbos at it and they're over 1400 horsepower in this car. I mean, it's crazy. It's 1450. I think they advertise them at 1500 horsepower, but it's an all carbon. The car is beautiful. I mean, it's amazing, but just to be a part of cool things like that. And I mean, for you vintage guys, man, Bill Riley, Bob Riley, I don't know if those names ring a bell with you, but
like IMSA and
GTs, man, Mark IV GT, we're involved with a continuation program that literally started like with the same tooling after like 1968. So we're actually building the engines for these continuation cars. These are real cars. So they're not replicas. They are, they're real deals, man. So we're actually building, a series of 427 dual carb big blocks for these continuation cars. And get this, a couple of guys, Jack Roush, Bob Korn, jumped in an airplane, went down to Holly and talked to them about recreating a 660 center squirter. You know, that's a carb that they phased out years ago. So this, they talked them back into coming up with a, you know, a modern 660 squirter, you know, center squirter carburetor for these dual carb applications. I mean, that was a cool carb back in the day for tunnel rams and superchargers and things like that. But that's another cool, you know, project that we're involved with that lives on, you know what I mean? Through these guys that were around back in the day for these real cars to be raced. And even Mos Nolan, you know, rest in peace, was a part of this continuation. He got a chance to lay his hands on it before he passed away. And he was one of the greats, man. He was one of the original, the godfathers of that, you know, that race car. So, so that's another neat project. And there's a lot more, man.
I don't know how you guys stay in your own office. Cause right. Your pipeline is Crate Engines. So, you kind of think about what that means, because you have your other pipelines, right? Your competition engines, your vintage engines. So your Crate Engines are meant to have a certain amount of durability, certain robustness, right. Certain, you know, reliability. Every time I get in and turn that key, that thing is going to burn the tires off. It's going to be awesome. It's solid. It's been developed, right? It's in a kit. I'm going to put it in my Cobra replica. I'm going to put it in my hot rod. But right next door, you got these vintage guys doing these cool things, recreating some of these, you know, Mark IV and other type recreations. And then right over here, you've got all your competition engines, your RY45s and everything else that's nasty. How do you even stay in your office and do your job? I'd be like, yo, dude, what's over there? Hey, what's under that curtain? Can I come behind the wall?
It's hard, man. It's easy to get distracted because, you know, depending on who's on the dyno with what project, I can be sitting in my office at any given time and hear a pull, and immediately it's like, oh my God, I got to go see what's going on. You know, our dyno is right across the parking lot. So it bounces off the wall. You hear everything and you're like, man, I'm going to check that out. I got to see what's happening. But yeah, it's difficult from a, you know, being focused kind of standpoint, you know, and focusing it on your own product, because you're right. You know, the Crate Engine thing is really geared towards guys that, that got these muscle cars that want to, you know, want to do something different and want to, you know, hit the streets, and they've got to have, you know, they wear the badge Roush, man. They got to have, there's an expectation, you know, Jack made us promise, you know, don't ever put my name on anything you're not proud of. And, you know, it's got to perform and it's got to last and it's got to do everything it says it, you know, it does. So yeah, durability, we've spent a lot of time. I mean, you know, supplier quality, right, is huge. And it just, you know, nothing comes out of a box anymore and it's ready to go on. You know, it's got to be touched. It's got to be fuzzed, finessed. And that's where, you know, our super experienced, knowledgeable, you know, build staff, you know, they're not production guys. They're real engine builders with real live engine build experience. You know, they're familiar with things and they know when it comes out of the box, they could look at something and go, man, that's not right. We need to take a look at that deeper just to make sure. So there's a huge responsibility on our behalf to go through and look at everything and make sure that things are, you know, up to spec and where they need to be to go together. So they are durable. So they do last a long time. And we put a lot of time and effort and a lot of just, you know, confidence in these engines, you know, to go out and last for a real long time.
Well, I mean, your name's on it, so you basically have to, man. That's your bread and butter right there. It's it's crazy. Where do people find you socially, and where do people find out more about what you guys are doing, building, creating, and what's next? What's coming, you know, down the pipe?
We've got Roush Performance.com. You can go on there, see my engines. There's a couple of spots. I'll have to send you guys the link to being able to keep up the what's new. So we can share that with everybody, but yeah, it's there's a lot of things that are still, you know, on the brink of coming out. I can't talk about a lot of it just yet, but there's still a lot of things to come, man, and I'm excited. So we're just tipping the mountain.
I was going to say, how excited are you for 2023, man, and all this crazy horsepower war stuff that's going on, and everybody trying to get a little faster, a little funner. It's got to be it's a great world to live in right now, my friend, right?
Absolutely, man. It's super exciting. I couldn't be happier. And it's, you know, it's a car guy's dream to be able to work in this industry. So I'm having a great time.
Amen. All right, guys. What's Car Guys Dream to work on our show, too? It airs on weekends on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. It's also available on Motor Trend Plus, which is their streaming format. A great way to find us. Thanks to our guest, Jim Kemp from Roush Performance, roushperformance.com. My man, Kevin Bird, I will be your producer, Scoop, and executive producer, Bob Ecker.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out our website, too, twoguysgarage.com. Share your thoughts with us. We're everywhere on social, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Two Guys Garage. This Two Guys Garage podcast, it's copyright 2023, Brenton Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved.
All right, Jim, you tempted me enough with all that Roush crate into performance talk. I got this 97 Cobra I've been dying for a drivetrain for. What does one of them badass 700 horsepower Coyotes cost a fella?
Well, Willie, I think we can work a deal, my friend.
I like deals. I'll be in contact.
All right.
You're awesome, man. Thanks for the time, buddy. We appreciate it, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
All right, guys. Hope you got a little kick out of all the cool stuff that's going on out there, especially in the Roush world. We'll have to catch you on the next Two Guys Garage podcast.
Two Guys Garage Podcast is a production of Brenton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.